wanting to go through Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 or 6. I managed to get through verse number 1. If you can say getting through it, I don't even think we could scratch the surface of that subject. The things which become sound doctrine. And last week I titled the message, I titled it A Healthy Diet. The pure words of life, the Bible, unadulterated, unabashed, as the source for spiritual nutrition for the believer. Well, today I want to call the message The Results of a Healthy Diet. Now, it's amazing. I haven't physically dieted all that much, but I've gotten more physically active over the last couple months, and I've dropped about 20 pounds of what I've gained through not being active at all. And it's amazing what happens when you just set your mind and set your affection and set your body to doing the things that you normally do. And so it is with a Christian. When we set our minds upon the things of the Lord coming from the Scriptures, we also have the effects of that. You know, like in a physical diet, you feel better. You don't moan and groan so much. It's easier to reach your shoes, to tie them in the morning. All different things like that are all effects. But, and same thing, with the Word of God in the church, there are effects of the Bible. Natural effects that come. It's like drinking X amount of water a day will have effects on your nourishment in your physical life. The effects of drinking the water of life will have effects on the spiritual side of things. So I want to start by reading Titus chapter 2, and let's just read through verse number 6. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patient, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." And then, Lord, we just pray that you would add your blessing to your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see this term here, the aged men and aged women. Who's offended by that? You might be in that category if you're at a mature age. Aged men and aged women. This is the same word that's used for an official elder of the church. It's presbyter. And this simply means one that is mature of age. So these are the things that are natural effects of doctrine. Look at it quickly in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. It's amazing what happens so much. You can find a guide in the Christian bookstore about how to be more patient, how to have more charity, how to have more faith, how to be temperate, how to be grave, and all these different things. And they use this as building blocks to a better walk with the Lord. And I would say the exact opposite is true, that the Bible and you understanding your position in the Lord will lead to these things naturally. Without having to form any kind of any kind of special called out group for these different things. There's nothing wrong with those things. You'll find places they have a group for preteens, teens, post-teens, you know, elderly, retired, divorced, undivorced. It's groups of everywhere. I think that's done more damage to the church in general than then benefiting it split. It split the church in so many different ways. You know, it's broken up the church. You know, what better thing to do than go to a church, a place called a Family Life Center, and the first thing, you get everybody going everywhere. So that's why I love it when families sit together, come to church together, and learn together, that young men and women can sit and actually talk with the older people. You know, it used to be a wonderful thing of society. Now it's looked down upon. It's a shame. So that the aged men be sober. Let's go through this list here. Sober or circumspect. They would be able to look around and have a sound attitude and mind towards the things that's going on around them. You know, that you may be aware of the things. What things are we to be aware of? We're to be aware of what the Bible says, number one. Aware of the circumstances around us, dealing with younger men and younger people in general. So we become aware of those things. Grave. Read down, be sober, grave. That's basically it's being honest and serious. I like to use the term seriously honest. You know, not that you walk around with we think of the word grave, like, remember that wrestler that used to be called the Grave Digger? He looked like he was in a bad mood all the time. Of course, it was wrestling. It was only a show. But to be grave, that doesn't mean that we're to look downcast. And we always have a picture of the mean teacher that's always so serious, he has no fun. But would be grave and serious in the things pertaining to the Lord and honest in those things. You know, one of the things I love about being a Christian, and being a Christian's a blast. You can still be grave and honest. I love singing that song, "Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian." Isn't it?
Yes.
But if you have a perspective that you need to perform all these things, being a Christian isn't so wonderful, is it? I gotta keep up with the Joneses. Though nobody here named Jones, so I can say that. So I need to keep up with what's going on in the world today. Just it's the way of falling off the old hamster trail, or whatever it is, the hamster wheel. You can't keep up. I like this acronym, FOG. F-O-G. Focus on grace. You know, if we look at who we are in Christ Jesus and go from there, and with things are much better. We can be grave and we can be sober. Those are fruits of it. Next one on the list is temperate. It's self-control. You know, the literal words mean safe in mind. You know, everything in there. It's interesting. The word is I can't read my writings. I added it to it. It's sophonos. Sophone. So think of it. Phane is the second part of it. That deals with the mind. And so is taken from so-so, which means salvation or preservation or deliverance. So you're safe or preserved in mind. That's what it means. And when we get to it, we'll look at it a little more. That's the word temperate here. And in verse number 4, it talks about women teaching. Same exact words. The same exact word that's used here for temperate. And it's also used in verse 4 of the women being discreet. You know, they're safe in their mind. They're focusing on not just the things of themselves, but focusing on others. Sound in faith. Salvation. Here's how we can be sound in faith. Salvation is the gift of God. Right? In Ephesians 2:8. We all know it. Let's go there anyways, because I just have to go there. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with verse number 1. We'll get to verse 8 eventually, right? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So who does the quickening? God does the quickening. God gives the life to that person who is dead. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In time past, that was before you were a Christian, before you trusted the gospel. You walked according to the prince of this earth, according to the prince of the power of the air. Just think, you were driven by every wind and wave of doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 gives warnings about that, about not being driven by every wind and wave of doctrine. That's what the prince of the power of the air does. He tries to move you off course with those winds and waves of doctrine and keep you from being settled in faith. Settled in your salvation, among whom also we all had our conversation. Who had that conversation? We all. That's where we lived. We lived. Our citizenship was in those in that disobedience. Among whom also we had all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh. Yeah, lusts, we usually look at it in a real evil connotation, but the desires of the flesh. That's why I said there's a multi-billion dollar plastic surgery. The price of that, it's an industry that you know, desire goes for the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh to clean up these dead bodies that we have, that we're carrying around. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were just like everybody else. We all desired, we all wanted to be and have first place. Take first place and me. I almost tuned up to sing there. Me. That's the song we all sang at one time, in the lust of our flesh. There's verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. One of the big question that faces Christendom throughout is, what is the gift? Is faith a gift, or is salvation a gift? The object is salvation here. Salvation is a gift from God. How do you receive salvation? I just gave away the answer. You receive it as a gift. Just as if somebody were to hand you a Christmas gift, you need to take and open up that gift. Receive that gift. There's some of Christianity believes that the gift is faith. That's absolutely ludicrous that God gave the gift of faith to certain people in a place, a planet, a long time ago, and then only those who have the gift of faith are chosen for salvation. That's the strangest thing of all. That's the strangest thing you'll ever hear, but yet that's a popular belief. Salvation is the free gift that has been offered to all, no matter what. You know, there are those that think that You know, the smartest men in the world are, you know, can't make a free will decision to trust the Lord. They need to have that gift given to them before they were born. It's crazy. The bottom line is, we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, and that's what brings salvation. That's it. Whatever reason you didn't believe the gospel, that's usually the God of this world has blinded your eyes to the truth, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, we as a people in general are so hell-bent on our own successes, our own will, that we lose track of those things. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I always love that part. Nothing we can earn, nothing we can do to receive that salvation except for simply to believe. Let's go back to our text in Titus. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Remember the word sound here, it's the same word we get for hygiene. Maybe healthy in faith. It can only come from eating the best vegetables and minerals and different things in the pure water of life through the Bible. Sound in faith, sound in charity. Charity is love. Some would say it's agape love, but the word charity is used because it's a special love that we have among believers. I mean, sound in charity, not looking out for their own, and sound in patience. That's the toughest one we have right there, being sound in patience. You ever driven with an impatient driver? I have a friend of mine that's, you know, that I always, he always has me drive because otherwise he's on the horn every second of the day. I'd be tooting at him. You know, if I were driving, I would have tuned my horn 10 seconds ago. It's only been 12 seconds. It's okay. But patience is the toughest thing that we have because patience really wears on us, doesn't it? Notice this is directed first it was the elder, now it's directed to the older men, and then we see in verse number 6, you know, basically everything that came before, this is the younger men as well, that they learn these things from the aged men. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start with verse number 1, and we'll just go to verse, I think 4, or verse 8, rather. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one way you can have salvation, is to be declared righteous. That comes with believing the gospel. That God declares you righteous, that you have the same righteousness that God has. Man, that's a high goal to fill, isn't it? Thinking that God has given us his righteousness. Jesus Christ has exchanged his life for ours. It's called imputation. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. I love that. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Multiplied to you. Not just, well, let's see if I read the Bible for 10 minutes today, let's see, I'll get one-third of, one-third of an ounce of grace, I'll get added to me. No, he multiplied you. As I said last week, said we have grace that's been lavished upon us. Our grace is front-loaded. We have everything that we need right at the start. If you've been saved by grace, or I should say justified by grace, you have all the grace you need at that salvation for everything in life. Let me add, too, and death. You have everything that you need. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How do we know that you've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. No matter what, it's all through him. He's the one, through knowledge of him. That's how we have deliverance. That's how we have patience. And that's what we're going to look at in a couple of verses. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, all right, beside this, knowing that you have the full knowledge of God, you've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. And beside this, giving all diligence. You know, pay attention to these things. This is the same kind of thing that Paul's addressing to Titus, that the aged men be like this. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, you have all you need according to God, but we add virtue, then add knowledge, temperance. You add to that knowledge. Is that soundness in mind through the knowledge of Christ once again. And to temperance, patience. You know, you learn patience. My wife likes to say this, and it's so true. If you ever in prayer, you say, Lord, give me patience. Look out! He's going to use everything that's going to make you learn patience. And the patience, godliness. People grow in godliness through age and wisdom and going through the great ringer of life. Now, I have to see if I can find it one time. I did a message when I used to do primarily topical messages. I did a message called The Washing Machine. How the washing machine has a ringer in it. These newfangled ones, they don't have that anymore. And you have to go through this process of being churned up and wrinkled. It's funny, the washing machines today without that agitator, that's what it was, the agitator. You need the agitator. Right? Christians need an agitator once in a while, don't they? In order to grow in patience. But now washing machines, it's that agitator and is added to it the blood of Tide. I call it the Crimson Tide, like Alabama. You have that's added to the agitation. The soap does the cleaning, the agitation gets that soap into every little part of it, and that's how our lives are as well. We grow into patience through the trials that we have. Patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. It's the same, it's what Titus Paul is getting at in Titus. These are the things that occur. And of course, their models are modeled by the aged men in the church, the mature men in the church. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things add up to our Christian walk being better, not for the benefit of self, but for the benefit of others. That's what all these attributes are for. Hey, after all, if it's only about us and we don't need to grow in holiness, it's settled. I'm going to heaven, man. You want to join me? Go ahead. But the reality is we're here for each other. Let's go over to, I feel like I missed something. You know, I missed something important. Oh, I did. Let's go to Leviticus 19. I went ahead of myself here. So, Leviticus 19. If you want to read all of the chapter of Leviticus 19 about all the different laws for the nation of Israel, go right ahead. But I'm just going to go just to verse number 32. This is where I was supposed to start, so I got ahead of myself. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. It's me. I get a little gray in there, a little white in there. The hoary head, and honor the face of the old man. Now, I'm kind of offended by that, but I have to get over myself. And fear thy God, I am the Lord. See, even in the law, God gave a certain respect, or gave to others to respect the old man and the hoary head. Respect the wisdom of the elders. Now, something happened. Let me go ahead further back into Titus. So God has had a place for the elderly or the mature in faith in the church as examples, natural examples in the church. Let's go back to Titus. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You can add that sound in all those there, or it doesn't say sound before. The aged women, likewise. Now, it's dangerous to point out aged women, but it's all relatively speaking. Women stop aging at the age of 29. We know that, right? Just thinking, how can I get myself out of this one? The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. It's the practice that aged women have. And what they're supposed to do is they show by example to the younger. You know, that's the next part of it here. They teach the young women. We had a, I love this, last Sunday after church, I won't point out an aged woman, Carol. had the opportunity to sit down with a couple of the youngins. And what I heard was just, you know, wonderful. It's like his guidelines of finding spouses, having godly men and women around you, and being patient with that and waiting for the right person to come. I was like, inside, I was like, hallelujah. These are the things that are supposed to happen. You don't need to buy a book about it. Just pay attention to the older women in the church that have grown in the faith. I like to call that's organic. It's not contrived. It's something that happens, and this is what happens with sound doctrine that filters down sound but healthy doctrine derived from the scriptures alone. So we hear the aged women likewise, just like the aged men, but they be in behavior as becometh holiness. I like that. That's added even to the men. The women have more of a responsibility because women, especially young girls, are much more impressionable than boys. They are. The girls are fleeting. They go through, they're like butterflies, like that. They need to be grounded and matured and under the wings of those older women. You know, boys by and large are like, I don't care. But girls are, you know, tend to want to float around. I think of Muhammad Ali, and float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. The aged one likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. You know what the word for false accuser is? Diablos. Where do we get the word? What's the word diablos mean? The devil. False accusers. You know, one of the greatest things terrible things is that false accusations. And sometimes we can call that through gossip. This is something the elder, the women are to rein in. All right, let's not have things be hearsay. You just see the way she looked at me today? Did you see that? Her dress was 2 inches too high. All those different things. Those come through teaching, through the example that we have. That's why our focus on grace, focus on truth, focus on a just God that knows what He's doing. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Being focused on what's right sometimes is not popular, but it is what God desires. Verse number 16. Actually, let's go back a little bit. Verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. I like that. First off, he did me much evil. I'm going to go get him and I'm going to rip his arms off. That'd be the most human emotion that you would have. I'm going to tear him limb from limb. I think of the Three Stooges. I'll tear him limb from limb. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. When Paul went to defend himself with Alexander, everybody sided with Alexander. Obviously, he more than likely had some Judaistic teachings in himself, and those things he wanted to promote, and people followed him, as people will do. Notwithstanding, this is for everybody, the older women, older men. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. No matter what, it's the Lord that does the strengthening and the empowering, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Here's why the focus on grace, the focus that Paul has to Titus of holiness unto the Lord is so important for those around us. Like I said, not necessarily for ourselves. Christians are so quick to jump from sound doctrine to those things which satisfy the flesh or the old man. We want to keep on pumping him up. I'll pump you up. That's what we want to do with the old man. The fruit of the mature woman's are not false accusers, not devils, not gossipers. Not given to much wine. There's a different form of moderation right there. The best way is just avoiding those things that would cause other people to stumble to begin with. And teachers of good things. It's interesting what I love about on Wednesday, somebody had an observance from Philippians chapter 4. Let's go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. I think I'll stay in Philippians for a second here. Finally, brethren, sistren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Have your mind focused on these things. Remember, the word for think here, more than likely without looking it up, is the word muse. What are we so wrapped up? We're wrapped up in a muse. We want to be entertained. We want to have things our way. We like to be Burger, like Burger King. Have it your way. Amuse. But instead of amusement, we should have amusement. Think on these things. And in this chapter, I think it was Tim that said it. Notice the first thing is there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true is the first thing. Where does truth come from for the believer? Comes from the Scripture. Amen? Whatsoever things are true, then everything else branches off of that truth of God. You know, we can focus on some very lovely things and just things, but they might not, and even honest things that aren't based on the truth of the Word. So this is the focus that Paul has with Titus. I could stay there. Let's go to chapter 2 for a second.
Philippians
chapter 2. Yep. I just happened to see a meme of this verse too, and it was reminding me of that. Verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, not pulling attention to yourself, or strife causing that Diablos can get in there and cause strife. Through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And just because it's here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can't stop there either. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what a picture of temperance and the light is about. It's about the needs of others. Set yourself behind. As Christ did when he came to the cross, he left all the glories behind. He laid aside some of those attributes that he had in glory, and he was fashioned as a man. So the key here is, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ that we have gets us to be servants to others. And this is the model that we see. Back to Titus. Still in verse 3, that the aged woman likewise, that be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now the word teach here, as I think I might have said it already, it's the same word that's used for being discreet and temperate. This teaching here isn't a teaching that, all right, you have a blackboard here, and you have a bunch of T's to dot and I's to cross and all that kind of thing. But this teaching here is a teaching by example. Showing through that temperance, through discretion, how one should walk. Examples to the younger women. Likewise, the older men should be examples to the younger men. Examples to all. That they may teach the young women to be sober, clear-minded, again. To love their husbands, to love their children. Now, you can buy all kinds of books about steps to love your husband and children. How many books are on the market about these things? Happy wife is happy life. You know, you can, all these different things, but it's the example of the elders that show how to love their husbands and their children and or children. You know, seeing what happens in those things, it's amazing. Example is important. That's why we grow in holiness, men and women alike. We grow in our sanctification to be more and more like Jesus in all things. To be discreet, once again, it's the same word as temperance and teaching. It's safe in mind, looking out for the things of others rather than in themselves. I like we think of the word discretion. We use discretion. Wisdom with those around us. Not always coming out blatantly with something negative, but learn and grow into those things which become sound doctrines. To be discreet. Chaste, pure. Be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Remember, there's a natural order of family, husband, wife, and children. Just like Adam was created first, then Eve. Adam was the head, the husbands are the head, and the woman is the servant in a good sense. Ephesians 5 puts the responsibility on the man because he's to follow Christ. And what did Christ do? I say this scares the kids getting married. I say, well, Christ died for his church. Your responsibility is, even if you have to die for your wife. That's a proper perspective. And because of that love for the wife, the women can be obedient. Ephesians 5 says, reverence her husband. That's the natural order of things in a relationship. That the word of God not be blasphemed. I like that, the old expression that we have so often. Who wears the pants in your family? All of us. But the truth is, being a husband or father doesn't mean that you lord over your wife or your children, but you lead. And that same leadership is by example. In a church setting, those in charge are not to lord over the assembly, but to lead by example. Unfortunately, sometimes those examples are bad examples, but the more we stick with the scriptures, the more we stick with the word of God, those examples can be wonderful examples. Not that we're all perfect, no. We all fall short. Every single person in the world has fallen short of the glory of God. It's only through the gift of salvation that we have any hope whatsoever. Now let's go to verse number 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Can't ask for anything than that. Think with a clear head. Think circumspectly. Think of the things that you're about to do. Does it give glory to God? I mention this quite often. I was glad for my upbringing when my father gave me enough rope where I could hang myself. It was my fault. One time, Helen got upset because I used that term when we knew somebody that actually, did that to themselves, but it's a colloquialism or an old saying that we have. It's so true. You can only lead. What's another old expression? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Same thing. We can lead, but we can't lord. And that's for the elder men, the old hoary-headed men, and the older women as well, being examples to the younger. In closing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I like the end of 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a bunch of one-line admonitions. I like verse 21. It says, prove some things. All things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Is where I was going to go to Philippians 4:8 was at this point, but I decided to go there earlier. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove here means set to the fire. check the temperance of something. As you would test a piece of gold, you can put it to the fire, and when it melts, what do you have? You have gold. It's just a liquid form. Right? Silver, all these precious metals. And then you have a piece of paper that goes to the fire. Doesn't last very long, does it? You still have paper in some form, scattered around in ash form. Approve all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That's what we're to do through it all. The older women, the older men, the younger men, the younger women, it goes right forward just like that. Hold fast. One more place, Acts chapter 17. Did I say that I was closing after the last one? Shouldn't be a liar, right? And I know we all know this part. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's the duty of all of us. Whatever we hear, we prove. From wherever we hear it, no matter what. You can hear the same thing for 30 years, prove whether it's so. Test it to see if it's so. That's how we keep a healthy diet with the pure word, the pure water of life. How many people have to look at what they eat and look at the ingredients? Even something that says organic broccoli, right? And you read the ingredients in it, and there's like some kind of weird chemical that's been added, but they still advertise it as organic. There's something added to it. Does that make it organic anymore? No. It's been disqualified. It's not pure like it was. That's how it is for all of us. So biblical truth is the only pure water that we need. I didn't even finish with the rest of the women, but you get it. The keepers are good, obedient to their own husbands. All these things they learn by example of the older women. Amen? Isn't it good? I love it when things just function naturally. And that's what we need to have happen. No coercion. Do this or else. But it's good when Christians can grow in the faith through the word and serve one another, help one another, and be examples to one another. Amen? The whole bottom line through it all is to just trust and receive the gift of salvation. You know, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful gift. Don't leave earth without it. Amen?